We're going to hear from Scripture now. We're going to hear from Psalm 147.
Praise the Lord. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust. Sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God with a harp. He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth, and makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. He gives food to the wild animals and feeds the young ravens when they cry. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates and blessed your children within your walls. He sends peace across your nation and satisfies your hunger with the finest wheat. He sends his orders to the world. How swiftly his word flies. He sends the snow like white wool. He scatters frost upon the ground like ashes. He hurls the hail like stones. Who can stand against his freezing cold? Then, at his command, it all melts. He sends his winds and the ice thaws. He has revealed his words to Jacob, his decrees and regulations to Israel. He has not done this for any other nation. They do not know his regulations. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Speak to us. May your word be living and active within our lives today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing to look at what I've been calling the awkward texts, texts that people have told me can seem to make the burden of being a believer heavier rather than making it lighter. And we've looked at a whole number of these texts so far. One of the texts that I was asked to speak about was this text that talks about God healing the brokenhearted in Psalm 147. And the comment was made that it's hard to believe that when actually your heart is breaking. Now, as we come to worship today, as ever, we come in a whole variety of different states, ranging from brokenhearted to feeling great and lots of different places in between. But this text is talking about God's involvement with us at the times that we are brokenhearted. The word for broken here is a word that means to be crushed or to be shattered. You know, it's not talking about having a slight knock that you can just get up from. It's talking about a real sense of brokenness. And the word for heart is a word that sort of means your really deepest place. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we feel. It's not about what we think. It's about the real us that lies behind all of that. So when this text talks about those who are brokenhearted, it's talking about those who are really seriously broken. And what this text tells us is that God is there and that God is involved. But we're talking about those times when there is no quick fix, when we're talking about the time that no song is going to make us feel fully better, where no kind word is going to change things around for us. I'm going to say something now, which I seem to be saying in almost every sermon in this series, and perhaps this is the lesson that comes from this series as a whole, which is that being brokenhearted is part of normal Christian experience. We're not in this sort of state all the time, praise God. But Christians go through times in their lives where they feel brokenhearted. Churches go through times when together as a church there is a sense of brokenheartedness. Nations go through times of being brokenhearted. When these things happen to us, it's not because we've sinned, it's not because we've done anything wrong. It's because this is how life works. Jesus knew what it was to be brokenhearted. I really wanted us to sing that song this morning. Jesus, you know what it's like to be human. Jesus knows what it is to be part of the whole range of human experiences. John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled." As Jesus looks forward to facing the cross, something very deep is going on inside Jesus. The trouble is hitting him very deeply. And as so often, as I've been trying to say in this series, we need to try and get rid of the myths that if we are a believer, this sort of thing will not happen to us. It will happen to us. Some of us have testimonies of times when we have been utterly brokenhearted. And perhaps that although it didn't seem so at the time, that God was there and God was supporting us and God was bringing us out. Some of us may never have gone through a time when we have felt brokenhearted. And if that's you, I'm really, really pleased. What I can't offer to you today is a promise that it will never be so for you. We look to Jesus for the example. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus brings many sons and daughters to glory. And it says that Jesus was made perfect through what he suffered. The one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are all of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. When we feel that our hearts are breaking, there is somebody to go to who knows exactly what it feels like. Sometimes people who believe in Jesus, we can want to honor him so much that we almost take away his humanity. Says in the Bible that Jesus was tested in every way as we are. Whatever your testing is, whatever you feel is pushing you, Jesus knows what that feels like. And because of that, he is able to deal sympathetically with us. Hebrews chapter 5, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learnt obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest. So broken hearts are to be offered to Jesus. If you were in earlier today, sort of a while before the service began, you'd have seen a picture that was up on the screen. And this screen, it was from this verse, Jesus talking to Jerusalem. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. So here's a bit of advice for those times when we feel brokenhearted, and this may be very hard for us to do, is to say to the Lord, Lord, be like that mother hen. Sorry, John, I'm going to annoy you now. Can we put that picture back up, please? Don't change the running order, John says to me, and then I do. But I just love this picture. You've got the hen there and the little chick that is just safe under the wings of the mother hen. You know, it's said that there have been cases where, like, barns have caught fire, and when they've gone into the wreckage afterwards, the mother hen has been charred, has been burnt to death, but the little chick is safe and has been protected by the mother hen. And Jesus says to us, that's what I want to do for you. He said to Jerusalem, I long to put my arms around you. I long to embrace you. But for that to happen, we need to be willing. He's not somebody who's going to force himself onto us and to say, you must accept my healing. But he loves us, and he wants us to say yes to him. And this whole issue of being brokenhearted, only a real engagement with God is going to get us to an answer. When we feel brokenhearted, it can be very tempting to say, oh, I'll give up on God. It can be very tempting to walk away. And yes, Jesus will pursue us, but he will not force us to come in to his loving arms. There's another psalm, before we get on to 147, I wanted to make a few points from it, which talks about people who are brokenhearted. Can we put the Psalm 34 verses up? This is a big psalm for me, because it was the psalm that was read on the day that Ruth and I got married in the church that day. It's a very upbeat psalm. I'm just picking out a few verses here. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And here it is. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Okay? Not saying magic cure, you'll feel better. It says he'll be near. He'll be working for you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Did anybody spot the New Testament reference in those verses? Anybody spot it? Anybody want to suggest what it is? In Christ. That's good, but it's not what I was thinking of, but you're absolutely right. Yes, that is definitely a New Testament reference. Yeah, our sense of not being condemned is because of faith in Christ. We're not trusting in whether or not we're good. That's very important. It wasn't what I was thinking of. Yeah, that's the one. Isn't it great to have Audrey back with us today, by the way? That's an excuse to mention that. It's great to have Audrey with us today. When Christ was crucified, he didn't have any broken bones. And in John's Gospel, we're going to look at this more at our Good Friday service, but in John's Gospel, when he tells the story of Jesus being crucified, it was common practice in those days when they wanted to hurry up the death of the people being crucified to break their legs. When they got to Jesus, they found he was already dead, which was a matter of great surprise. And John sees this as a fulfillment of Psalm 34 that we've just been reading. So here is this psalm, which is talking about being brokenhearted. It's talking about people who trust in God. And it's saying, yeah, those who trust in God can have lots and lots of problems. They'll have lots of difficulties. But in all of them, the Lord was being near. Now come to the story of Jesus. What is part of the evidence that God was near to Jesus when he died, that his bones did not need to be broken? That even on the cross, as Jesus is dying, the Father is there, and the Father is looking out for him, and the Father is caring for him. Now, even as I say that, I'm thinking, does that make any sense at all? We're talking crucifixion here. We're talking about somebody who was beaten. We're talking about somebody who was strung up on a cross and died. And yet, John, when he writes his gospel, wants us to know that God was there and God was caring and God was with him even through the times of the cross. There are songs that we sing that sometimes would suggest that God was looking away when Jesus was suffering. I think I know what they mean, but I think on a really important level they're wrong. I think God was right there in the middle of it all. And Psalm 34 is saying to us, God is with you in your suffering. He is near. He is rescuing you. And of course, for Jesus, the great act of rescue is coming. It doesn't minimize the pain when it happens, but it doesn't half give a story that is worth telling. I want to mention five things that struck me as I looked at Psalm 147 this week. I'm going to take them quickly. You might like to take time at home to read through this psalm and see how they speak to you. Can we put the PowerPoint up, please, John, from Psalm 147? Do you agree with that statement? God is wiser than we are. You know, those of us who are parents, or you remember from your kids, were there ever times when your kids thought that you hated them because you were making them do things they didn't want to do? Yeah, I'm seeing a few parents smiling at this one. But hopefully, it was because you were wiser than they were. Hopefully you realized that thing they were going to do was really dangerous. Hopefully you realized that eating junk food for all your meals is not a great idea. And the child's thinking, my mum and dad don't love me. And sometimes we do that to God. God is wiser than we are. That's really stressed within the psalm. I said I'd take them quickly. The next one. God's love is unfailing. God's love does not stop. Even when we are brokenhearted, he is still loving us. He is still in the process of healing us. And sometimes to be healed, God does things that we don't particularly like. But he is there, and his love never stops. This is the message of the Bible from beginning to end. You can't stop God from loving you. Now, that doesn't answer a load of questions. It doesn't answer questions like, why am I going through this? Why does so-and-so seem to go through more than somebody else? But it talks about the wisdom and the love of our great God. The next one. God cares for all of his creation. Every single bit of it. The world doesn't center around me or you or Mills Hill Baptist Church. And it's not just about human beings. There's one little thing in this psalm that I love. It talks about God caring for ravens. And ravens, according to Jewish ways of thinking, were unclean animals. But God cared for them. And God is caring, not just for us. It is God who is sustaining this whole universe. Every bit of life is living and breathing because God says so. Jesus says, look at the sparrows. They're sold 2 for a penny, but not one of them falls to the ground without your Father knowing. And when I read that text, I want to say, well, an awful lot of them fall to the ground. But that's the point. The point is that when we fall to the ground, that our Heavenly Father knows, and he's with us, and he's caring for us. And then the next one, God has a big story. This psalm is written at a time when the story was pretty good. The people of God, we haven't got time to tell the Old Testament story here. The people of God had been sent into exile. It had been completely disastrous for them. But now it's getting better. Now the people are being restored. One day we will look back at the big story of our life. We will look at the big story of the church. And we'll see that God is working on a much bigger scale than we ever thought. And then the next one, please. I think this is the last one. God has given us his word. God has spoken to us. And we are more privileged than the person who wrote this psalm because we have the word of God spoken to us. And this word brings life to us. This word speaks resurrection to us. This word points us to Jesus who rose from the dead. Okay, what am I going to do as a result of that today? I'm going to suggest that we do now what Psalm 147 tells us to do in response to all of this. Do you know what Psalm 147 tells us to do? It tells us to sing praises to God. Now, we could spend a lot of time reflecting and say, well, you know, James, there were things in that that didn't quite make sense. I think there were things in that that didn't quite make sense. I just know that God's got more wisdom than us. But it says to sing. It is fitting to sing praise to God. It is helpful to us to actually realize that God is so much bigger than we are and so much wiser than we are. So we're going to sing. And we're going to sing a song that we've sung many times. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. I will trust in you alone. So let's sing this together.